about.
You're about to begin a physically grueling, mentally draining, life-changing adventure.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
It being President's Day and all, what would you consider the most important quality of being president? Girth?
My movement is reparation for 400 years of slavery, the black slave holocaust where the white people did us, and we still suffering the effects of that, you know.
What is your idea of reparation?
We asked for $8 to $12 billion annually for the rest of our natural life forever.
You're back on drugs, aren't you?
The job is so exciting and so profound that the disappointments will be clearly, you know.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Such a big liar.
Roll another one.
I want to have sex with her.
Just like the other one.
I'm sorry. I don't see people that look like that.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, nigga.
I don't know what those are.
Roll another one.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
Just like the other one.
A lot of Americans hate me.
This one seems to be about to end.
That's not brown rice.
I don't have another cent.
Oh, you are so on that things have now become very much like Donkey Kong.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Just pass it around.
Yeah, it's tick-tock, tick-tock.
That exchange meant nothing.
And now.
I mean, if they start smelling money in the water, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork.
Our feature presentation.
That guy makes a good point.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Friday morning.
I don't mean to complain, but why does everybody get jury duty but me?
I've explained this to you before, dude. It's a jury duty. It's a jury duty of your peers.
Right.
Which means that you're anything like the people that you're going to be on a jury for a trial.
Well,
and you have none of that. There's no one like you.
I have lots in common with lots of people. I'm an American. I'm a taxpayer. I live in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
In a town. I mean, I have lots of things in common.
Yeah. They don't want you.
One time in my whole life, I've been called for jury duty. One time.
Right. And everybody else tries to avoid it, hates it, throws away the things, waits till they absolutely have to. You have been actively going after it. Maybe that's it. Maybe they go, look. Everybody else tries to get out. If this guy wants to be on a jury, he's trouble.
So, in other words, the letters that I've been writing demanding I be seated,
yeah,
those are the ones that are keeping me at it?
I would suggest.
Yes.
That's it, yeah.
That's it. Lisa has had the kind of jury duty this week where she calls every afternoon to find out what she has to do for the next day. And up until yesterday, they said, oh, you don't have anything to do. Don't bother coming in. But yesterday, they told her, nope, you're in. Which she was surprised at because she didn't think they'd bring somebody in for the first time on a Friday. But yeah. I guess, you know, business day is a business day. So whatever business day, if they decide to use her, they'll just continue it over.
Yeah, but if you go in on a Friday and they don't use you, boom, you're out. You're out for a year.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
In other words, only if they...
If you go in a day and they don't use you at all in any way,
then you're done.
Sign off on you, yeah.
Wow. I got to get me out of jury. I got to send some people to jail.
Yeah. Really See, maybe do. That's the problem. Maybe the I've got to send somebody to jail attitude is one that they're not looking for.
But what's the point of doing it if you don't get to send someone to jail?
Seeking that out.
Well, All right, here's what I wanted to talk about. We've spent very little time talking about the Jessica Simpson baby, but I'm fascinated with it for a number of reasons. First of all, she named her kid Maxwell Drew, first of all, okay?
Max, that's a cute little kid's name.
Yeah, for a girl, right? Maxwell
oh,
Drew
it's a girl.
Is a baby girl, so that's odd right there. But you know what? Because she's such a huge, powerful celebrity, it'll now be – it's the new Apple. It'll now be everywhere. People will – it'll no longer be considered a boy's name because Jessica Simpson is so high profile now.
No,
lots of little girls would be called Max.
She carries that much power?
Well, I used to not think so because she used to just be that bad singer, that terrible singer – who had a reality show where she did nothing but show how stupid right. she was. And I thought that went off the air years ago, and now people should have forgotten her. Here's some things about Jessica Simpson that I thought were interesting. You know, she's got a, I almost call it a clothing line, but it's more than that. She sells all sorts of products, including home products. It's an empire, basically. She grosses over $800 million a year with her business, okay?
What?
Yeah, she grosses
over
$800 million? Yes, that's right. Her take-home has been estimated in the range of somewhere between 10 and 20 million. It hasn't been revealed, but something definitely north of $10 million, maybe as much as $20 million she's making a year off of that. And here's the thing about the baby. This is what fascinates me. It's estimated that she will make tens of millions of dollars as a result of having Max. Now she can add mom-friendly products to her line, like diaper bags and maternity wear, baby blankets, shoes, things like that, with her name on it that she will sell. You know, it's a product extension. That's what happens. You get it in one area. You know, you're Martha Stewart and you make this. Well, now all of a sudden you've got people's attention. You can go over here and make that and people will buy it, right?
She's a whore, okay?
All right, so now she can start selling all sorts of baby-related things.
Thank God right? She can make more than $10 to $20 million a year is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Then, you know, now she's being a mom. She's got this new platform. Then she can do all sorts of endorsements. Everybody will want her. She'll be asked to endorse whatever she doesn't make herself. Stroller companies will want her. This article mentions Stretch Mark cream, by the way, which is hilarious ad.
Wow.
So she'll have all sorts. She'll just make stacks of cash endorsing other people's products. Remember, she's also one of these people who, you know, makes tens of thousands of dollars a year just for tweeting things. They'll say, hey, Jessica, we'll give you $5,000 or $8,000, whatever it is, just to tweet that you're using this kind of baby formula or whatever it is. So she makes instant cash like that in literally 2 seconds.
She sounds fat.
Then, now all of a sudden, everybody is clamoring to get her back on reality television.
But now don't they remember how bad she was?
But now that she's a new mom,
so what?
There's a phenomenal appetite for people in this country to watch people have things happen in their life. But she's engaged.
You've got a weight problem, and you know it.
It's estimated that a reality show could earn her at least $5 million a year, and even more if she works product placement the way they do in the Kardashian shows and the Housewife shows and stuff like that. She has the potential to make tons more than what she's getting paid. Of course, she'll also be a producer on the show. She's going to make tons and tons and tons of money from that.
Get naked, you strange whore!
And here's my favorite part, and this is where I think that she's actually an evil genius and that we've been thinking about Jessica Simpson all wrong.
So far, though, she's up to $20 to $40 million a year.
Yes, from having a kid.
Yeah.
Exactly. On top of what she already has, which is an empire, right, which is an unbelievably successful empire. Here's where we were all wrong and we all got played. What have we been doing nothing more of than making fun of Jessica Simpson and how much weight she gained for carrying that baby?
Right.
She's been pregnant for, it seems like, 18 months, and she's gained like 150 pounds, right?
Fatty.
Well, you know, she already signed that deal with Weight Watchers. And apparently the way a lot of these celebrity Weight Watchers deals work is that you get paid, ready for it, per pound lost.
Wow. If that's true, I'm gaining weight as fast as I can before, you know, the run. So that way... You could lose a lot of pounds.
Celebrities can make up to 33,000 pounds for each, $33,000 for each pound they lose with a diet endorsement deal. So, of course, why go to Weight Watchers after your baby when you've only got 40 pounds to lose? Go when you've got 80 pounds
yes.
to lose. Because you're going to lose the weight anyway, probably. I mean, she's going to have a team that's going to make sure that it happens, right? She's probably figured out a way to have somebody exercise her body while she sleeps or lays on the couch.
But if you're going to be able to lose, if you're going to get $30,000 a pound that you lose, why not gain tons of weight before that starts?
Pig out in the 2 months before you begin. Yeah.
So that could be millions of dollars on top of it.
Here's some chocolate, Fat Joe.
This is, it's insane the amount of dollars in the different revenue streams that she potentially has coming in as a result of having sex with that dude.
Yeah. Wow.
Insane, right?
That's a bummer.
So who's stupid now, her or us?
Oh, us. That's always been the case. I mean,
it's
got to
be the case.
She's stupid, too, but she seems to be making a lot of money at it.
So. Yeah, she's stupid, but she's rich.
Right.
So there you go. That's something to think about if you're on your way to your $10 an hour job right now.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm sorry. Did someone fart and it came out sounding like words?
How dare you. Chael Sonnen will be on the program today talking about UFC 148.
He's a dick, right?
Yeah, I think... Okay. I don't know. I don't know that I buy anything out of his mouth. He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, he knows what to say, what buttons to push. He may be genuinely crazy.
Right. That's true.
Which I love. You drink your own urine. We're going to talk about today.
Oh, Lisa's going to be so sad to miss that.
We have Movie Beat because it's Friday. We have Jim Jefferies, comedian Jim Jefferies in our studios. One of the funniest.
Oh, he's so funny.
One of the funniest people we know. One of the funniest stand-ups we've seen. He was at our April Foolishness. And we also have...
Don't sit next to him on a plane if you ever have the opportunity.
That's correct.
Just don't.
We also have the final pair of tickets. The final pair. And they're in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta. So this is it. And when we say this is it, we mean this is it.
Okay.
So you got your chance to win those coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
We talked a little bit this week about the crazy woman who looks like an Oompa Loompa with the unbelievable tan.
Oh. She's beyond Oompa Loompa.
She's beautiful.
She's chocolate.
I love her.
Well, yesterday she got stopped by a paparazzo who talked to her briefly, and she said that everybody was just jealous of how good she looked.
Oh,
that's why everybody's coming down on her. But
that's what it is.
We'll bring it up with Dr. Drew. We'll find out what he thinks as a medical doctor, his opinion on what's likely to happen to that woman when we talk to Dr. Drew coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, Ralph Garman steps in. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
I talked to Drew a little bit about it off the air, and he said she'd be better off on drugs.
Really?
That takes a lot for Drew to go to that.
It does.
I think someone actually would be better if they were addicted to drugs. So that's how he feels about the tan lady. Hey, tomorrow night, by the way, other than the fact, it's the K-Rock When You Roast E-Fiesta. Supermoon.
Yeah.
Supermoon.
Supermoon tomorrow night. Woo!
What does that mean, supermoon?
What does it mean? It means we get the supermoon, Kevin.
What does that mean, though?
The brightest and fullest moon of the year. So while we're partying at the Weenie Roast, we also get the supermoon.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Talking about Friday?
Tomorrow will be Saturday.
Tomorrow, Saturday, sorry.
But how much of a difference does it make to us on Earth looking at it? I know that astronomically it's closer than usual,
Bean,
but how much difference
don't understand.
Will it look? Yeah, tell me, because I really
supermoon.
Don't. Supermoon! No, I know that's what it's called.
No, you don't, obviously, because it's supermoon. It's the best moon of all. It's supermoon.
So
you know how man is a regular man, and then you have Superman?
Right.
This is supermoon.
Supermoon.
Right.
So this is basically, it has to do with the orbit of the moon around the Earth, and the moon is closer than usual. That's what we're talking about,
right? It's the perigee. Perigee.
Okay.
Open up a blog.
Yeah, Bean, come on. it appears that it's the largest moon of the year. It looks massive to us here on Earth. We'll look up and say, holy crap, that's a big moon.
That's super.
That is a supermoon. So please enjoy tomorrow night, supermoon. Just want to put it out there. Supermoon.
That's exciting.
It sure is.
They're playing the side stage too, right?
Yes, they are. Lady Gaga is single again, fellas. Good luck.
Oh, wow.
Very exciting. She's telling Us Weekly magazine she's taking a break from her boyfriend, Taylor Kinney. She said, being a career woman, kicking off an international tour, there's just no room for romance. So Lady Gaga's out there. She's hungry, and she's looking for fresh meat. To make a dress out of.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
I think you're just jealous of how good she looks, Kevin.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Congratulations to Tulisa Kantostavlos.
Oh, he or she is awesome.
Tulisa is.
Sounds hot.
She has been named, according to the British FHM magazine, the sexiest woman in the world. You know, like we have the Maxim magazine version here in the States?
Right.
The British version, Tulisa Kantostavlos is number one over there. She is a singer and talent judge on The X Factor.
Oh.
And she was recently in a sex tape, a celebrity sex tape.
Really?
Yes. Where she was filmed providing...
Why have I not seen
oral
this?
Conversation with a gentleman.
It's for research. I mean, we need for research, we need to see that.
I agree. Number two on the list was Cheryl Cole. I agree. I think she's pretty smoking hot. Rihanna was third on the list. That's some BS right there.
You're not a fan. I think she's pretty hot.
Oh, Kevin, she's not even as hot as she used to be.
I agree with Ralph on that.
She is less hot. She's like crack whore now.
Oh, well.
Yeah, she's sliding into crack whoreville. Crack whoreburg.
We could all agree she's not number three.
Crackerton.
There's no way she's number three.
No, and she's dropping quick. Oh, she just dropped another place where she should be. Rosie Jones.
Now she's below Coach Beast. It's very sad what's happening to Rihanna.
Yes. Rosie Jones.
And she is, and we would know her from...
I'm not sure. Maybe she's related to Rosie Palm. I know
she's
her.
She's British, right?
Georgia Salpa.
Yeah, these are all British celebrities.
They got some hunked up names over there in Britland. Katy Perry, sixth on the list.
There we go.
Megan Fox was seventh.
There we are.
Keely Hazel, eighth on the list. Oh, she should be higher than
that. She should be higher than that for sure.
Mila Kunis, ninth. And Emily Attack.
I guess.
I had an Emily Attack last night.
Did you? I can be wrong.
A little Pepto, and now I'm feeling much better. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, 18th on the list this year.
What?
She won last year, 18th on the list this year. So, I'm just saying.
Rosie had this to say.
Thanks for fun enough. I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
Well, that makes sense then.
Isn't she American? I thought she was American, Rosie.
Rosie Jones?
Yeah. No, Huntington-Whiteley. Isn't she American? I thought she was.
No, she was
the one from the Transformers movie.
Yeah.
Rosie Huntington-Whiteley?
Yeah.
British.
She's British.
Is she? I didn't know. I've never heard her talk. I didn't see the movie.
Oh, okay.
You should see movies sometimes. They're great.
Really?
Yeah. They're not always great, but you should see them sometimes.
It's a fascinating technology. It really is.
See it on a big screen.
Look, if as rarely as I go to the movies, am I really going to go to a Transformers movie?
No,
is that
where
I'm going to put my money? Come on.
You
made a wise choice there.
Not you, but most people should.
You should see The Avengers opens up this weekend.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Fandango.com says there are over 1,000 sold-out screenings already for this weekend.
Wow.
If you're looking to go this weekend, you may have a hard time finding a ticket. That's what they're saying. It's nuts. Avenger Mania. And it looks like Little Ann is rekindling her romance with... That's right, Samantha Ronson.
Oh, come on.
They were spotted in Chinatown last week. Lindsay and Sam holding hands. Couldn't get enough of each other, said witnesses. All over each other, just blah, 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 blah.
This isn't going to work. We've seen this story
before.
But
what if they're soulmates, Kevin?
But they've had 17 trial runs. They should know by now.
Well, sometimes when a man like Samantha gets under your skin, you just can't shake him.
Shake him.
And I'd also like to point out for somebody who's had the alcohol problems that Lindsay has had, that maybe dating somebody who works in nightclubs is not the best environment for her.
That is a good point. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Dick Dale, legend of the surf guitar.
Yeah.
We're going to have to pull some Dick Dale to play a little bit. That is just some great stuff.
Omar, pull some Dick.
Sounds a lot like that.
All right.
He is 75 years old today. Mick Mars, while we're talking about guitarists from Motley Crue, he is 61. And a vital and vibrant 61 he is.
He certainly is. Like a day over 91.
Actor Will Arnett is 42 years old today. Mike Dirnt of Green Day turns 40 years old today. Aaron Andrews, sports reporter for ESPN. And girl who looks good through a peephole, I'll tell you that much. Lance Bass from NSYNC. Kamora Lee Simmons, TV personality and fashion designer. She is 37 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Your final chance to win tickets for the sold-out 20th Annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta coming up later on today's program. Also, funny man Jim Jefferies will be here. I feel so bad for Ralph when he has to do movie beats on weeks like this when there's just nothing coming out.
I know.
The
there was one movie people could get excited about. But
I know, but there's just nothing.
Nah,
just
we're kidding. We got the best exotic Marigold Hotel. That's right, opening this weekend.
Let's see what's going on. It is time for...
Well...
I don't know.
Kevin has no time for you. Except now. Now he's got all the time in the world.
Tell me when.
And here's the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies.
Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Anyone else get the sense Kevin's already backstage drinking beer at Weenie Roast?
How dare you? I was out late last night at the Kings game.
I think Kevin is looking he's looking past the Weenie Roast and is already at Staples Center Sunday night. That's where Kevin is.
I got you.
Sunday at noon. That is true. Game four.
Let's take a look at the movies opening up in the box office this weekend. As I mentioned, the best exotic Marigold Hotel.
Yay! That's not a thing, though, is it?
Director John Madden brings us Kevin is the greatest collection of elderly British actors that can be assembled. You've got your Maggie Smith, you've got your Judi Dench, you've got your Tom Wilkinson.
Wow.
Dev Patel also stars in this film. It's a bunch of British retirees who travel to India to take up residence in what they think is a newly restored and remodeled hotel. Turns out to be less than advertised, but the Marigold Hotel nevertheless holds sway and charm over them, Kevin, as they start to learn a lot about life and love.
Oh, that's nice.
At the best exotic Marigold Hotel.
Is there any salmon fishing involved in the film?
Here is a scene
that
where...
That sounds terrible, by the way.
This movie sounds awesome.
It sounds like it could be really good, especially with that cast. Are you kidding me?
Here's a little taste where Maggie is talking to Judi Dench. Saying, so what do you think of the hotel? Are you going to stick around? What's going to happen?
We haven't talked much, have we, you and I?
My loss, evidently.
Will you stay?
I'm not sure what I shall do. Nothing here has worked out quite as I expected.
Most things don't. But you know, sometimes what happens instead is the good stuff.
See, there's a little life lesson for you, Kevin.
Oh, man.
I love both of those actresses so much.
You guys are talking about a movie where people go to a hotel that isn't what they thought it was.
Woo!
Come on.
Best exotic Marigold Hotel, baby. I'll be there at the midnight showing. I'm going to get in line now. Got my tent. I'm going to camp out.
And it's preachy on top of that.
Don't know, man. You don't know.
I know.
Does Thor come in and just hammer them all to death? Does that happen? Because then Kevin's in.
I would go then.
Maybe Kevin wants to see a little bit of heaven. Starring Kate Hudson, who plays an irreverent young woman who gets cancer and learns a lot about life and love once she has a disease and how people treat her differently. Here's a little taste of a little bit of heaven.
Marley always lived life to the fullest.
You look familiar. We had sex.
I'm sorry?
But when something changes...
I have cancer.
She won't.
Who wants dessert?
I'm making you a nice, big, juicy steak.
Ma, I've been a vegetarian for 12 years.
Blah, blah, blah.
Now, she'll show the one she loves.
I'm scared this entire night's going to go by and you're never going to kiss me.
See? She's out of control, and she won't let cancer slow her down.
No, she's going to order dessert.
She's going to teach you a lesson about life and love.
Come on. Nope. What else you got?
I hope she goes to the Marigold Hotel to spend her waning days. How about The Perfect Family? How about Kathleen Turner? Stars as a mother and a wife. She's devoutly Catholic. She's up for a church award.
No.
And she decides she has to hide her family because they are not exactly... the perfect family she'd like to pretend that she has.
What Ralph is saying is nobody wants to go up against the Avengers.
Come on, The Perfect Family. Kathleen Turner sounds like a dude talking about her lesbian daughters. You're going to love this.
It's so important the home visit goes well to ensure you're our choice.
You are not married and over 30.
Is that a new sin I'm not aware of?
No, I just think it would be nice if you told the committee you were dating a good Catholic man.
Angela and I are getting married.
If that was good, would they drown it out with the music?
Emily Deschanel, Jason Ritter, Richard Chamberlain, Kathleen Turner, all star in A Perfect Family. And then there's a limited release. There's a little art film called Marvel's The Avengers also comes out this weekend.
Why
have we heard nothing about this?
I don't know why people aren't talking about it, but I think it sounds great. Apparently Dame Judi Dench is in it.
Nope.
And, wait a minute. This is all the greatest superheroes in the world forming a team.
Yeah!
To defend the planet from the evil Loki and his warlords.
Okay, that sounds kind of dumb when you put it like that.
No, Loki, man, he's back on Earth and he's got some ass-kicking troops with him, and he's gonna take over the world, basically. So what Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. have to do is they have to assemble the greatest collection of superhumans in order to form a team that can protect our planet. So he gets Iron Man, he gets Thor, he gets Hulk, he gets Captain America, he gets Hawkeye, he gets Black Widow. Brings them together. To form a super force. called the Avengers. Here's Tony Stark, a.k.a. Robert Downey Jr., talking to Tom Hiddleston, who is Loki, telling him that maybe not be a good idea to try to invade our planet, bitch.
What have I to fear?
The Avengers. That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team. Earth's mightiest heroes type thing.
Yes.
You've managed to piss off every single one of them.
That was the plan.
Not a great plan.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk.
Oh, I thought the Beast had won it off.
You're missing the point. There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top. Maybe your army comes, and maybe it's too much for us, but it's all on you. Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Avengers!
What are you saying?
Avengers!
So your point is...
Avengers!
So your recommendation would be...
Yeah, I actually saw this movie and loved it. I predict you will, too. It's on the longest side. It's almost 2.5 hours, but I'll tell you, it just flies by. And it's a great cast, giving great performances, great action sequences. Joss Whedon done an amazing job with the direction and with the script. You will love The Avengers. I highly recommend you checking it out this weekend. But then again, you didn't need me to say that because you're probably sitting in line right now waiting to watch it. I'm Ralph.
Foster the People right there on The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, they played the Weenie Roast last year. This year, of course, we've got so many great bands. Offspring is going to be there, and Coldplay is going to be there, and Angels and Airwaves, Dirty Heads, Garbage, Incubus, Silver Sun Pickups.
Blah, 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 blah. More things people don't care about. More things people don't
it's
care about.
It's a concert
blah,
for our
blah,
listeners.
Blah, blah, blah. First of
hey,
all,
Roland?
How dare you? How dare you hold an event on Avengers Day? That is sacrilegious.
Okay. There's no such thing as Avengers Day, and the movie's playing pretty much round the clock for the next 4 months. It's
right,
okay.
So you should do the right thing and sit in a theater and watch that all day tomorrow and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday.
Well, we're going to be broadcasting live starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, good. I'd much rather hear you interview Toad
Monsters
the,
and Men?
The Wet Monster.
Toad the Wet Monster.
Instead of watching... Thor and Hulk and Iron Man and Captain America and Black Widow and Hawkeye Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D.
There are other things going on.
See, that's why I have to call and correct you, because there's nothing else going on.
Okay.
The Weenie Roast is... Assemble!
Right, but the Weenie Roast is
don't
a big deal.
Angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Okay, but you're not the Hulk, Roland. Listen, a lot of people look forward
to... I'm Hulk Roland. Hulk Roland smash you.
Hey, Roland, I can't believe I'm going to ask you this question, but how many times have you seen the Avengers movie, which opened at midnight this morning?
Here in the United States?
Oh, well, no,
just,
total.
Just twice.
Total.
Total,
wait,
17
wait,
times.
Twice since midnight?
Twice since midnight, yes.
Total. And where else did you, how have you already seen it in other countries?
They have this thing called the airplane, Bean, and it will take you to Australia, it will take you to the UK, where I've been watching the Avengers endlessly.
How did you talk your mom into sending you to those places?
Mom takes a lot of Valiums, and I know where she keeps her credit card.
I see.
So I have about, I figure, 23 days before she gets the bill.
Okay, so wait, so let me make sure
I understand
this.
Can I borrow about $40,000?
I know that you're a fan, but you're trying to tell us that you got on a plane and flew to Australia to see a movie, then left and moved on to the next country where it was premiering.
That's right, mate.
But if you've seen the movie in Australia, why do you then have to go to Germany to see it? Why do you then have to go to England to see it? If you've seen it, you've seen it.
Yes. But I couldn't see it here in the United States. Now, could I? That wasn't an option for me. Now, was it?
Well, no, but it was at midnight last night.
Yeah, but then everyone could see it.
Right. I don't understand your...
How do I stand out? How am I special if everyone can see it?
You still live in your mom's basement. I think that makes you special.
You should understand.
I know what I wanted to ask you. What about that mini feud that happened between Samuel L. Jackson this week and that movie reviewer for the New York Times who thought that the Avengers movie was just okay?
Oh. Who is that person? Give me a name.
No, please.
Give me a name,
please.
And I will go in like Hawkeye in my bow and arrow, and I will put a shaft right in his eye.
His name
and
is
by that,
a-
I mean arrow.
A.O. Sky. I hope so. His name is A.O. Sky.
A.O.
He is a longtime movie reviewer for the New York Times.
Well, be warned, A.O. Scott. I am coming to knock those initials right off the front of your name. I'm going to thrash you like you're a person who has a full first name. That's how I will beat you.
But, Roland, if you do that, you'll miss a couple of screenings of the movie.
That's all right, because then I'll be going down. Then Samuel Jackson will probably have me over at his house for dinner. We'll probably hang out.
That's never going to happen.
He'll make me an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's never going to happen.
You know they're making the Nick Fury in the comic books black now? To look more like Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay. I don't understand. The original Nick Fury in the comic books wasn't black?
No, he was white.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, they're going to make him black now.
All right.
That's so cool.
He's cooler.
Yeah, so he'll be like a jive turkey.
He's not a jive turkey just because he's African-American.
That's right, my brother. Go, Black Panthers.
What's wrong with you?
Up with the weathermen.
What are you talking about?
I'm just being funky.
I don't think you can pull off.
Hey, how about
street.
That watch ride, huh? That was appropriate. I think that was an appropriate reaction to the oppression we were feeling, my brother.
All right, Roland.
See a shaft.
You're very dorky and very white, but I'm glad you're having fun with your little Avengers
movie.
Hey, is
that Cleopatra Jones? What's up, my soul sister?
All right, Roland. We got to go.
Solid.
Chael Sonnen joins us next hour here on the Kevin Amin Show, talking about the upcoming UFC 148. This is the fight we've all been waiting for, his rematch with Anderson Silva, plus Jim Jeffries. And you think you know a guy, Ralph. You think you work with a guy day in, day out for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out something so shocking about him that you can't believe you never heard it before.
We talk about Kevin? This is about the women's clothes?
Can't believe.
No. Uh-huh. This is about Kevin drinking his own urine.
Oh,
is what
bad.
This is about, ladies and
Whoops.
Gentlemen.
Sorry.
That wasn't supposed to be out yet.
No, I'm sorry.
It's all one story.
Okay. He's waiting till he can have a sit down with his family before we get into that, Ralph.
Kevin drank urine on purpose.
Yep.
He said, this is for me. Cheers. Yep. That's what he said.
We will discuss coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Amin Show. What is going on with the monkey? How drunk do you have to be to drink your own urine?
I need some more vodka and I run it through my own filter.
I wish I had drunk to blame it on.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get that story out of the way. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Everybody's talking about Avengers. We're talking to your little friend Roland there about the movie.
Yeah.
Everyone looking forward to this film. Great story that came out last week about a recent press screening for the critics. You get everyone into the theater. And these things usually start late anyway. And we're getting ready to go. And they're going to show the critics the Avengers. So the projectionist cues it up. And presses the button. It's a digital copy, so it's going to show on the screen in a digital projector. Hits the button. Only that button was the delete button.
Oh. You can delete a whole movie just
by
hitting one
button?
You can
delete an entire digital copy of a film at a theater by hitting a delete button like any other file on a computer.
They have Mugs work. Do you work there?
Come on!
It sounds like Mugs work at the projectionist booth. Yeah, here's the thing. No backup. No way to recover the file. They needed to download a brand new version of the movie for critics.
Wow.
Which downloads, by the way, in real time.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Critics sat there for more than 2 hours while a fresh digital copy was downloaded to the theater.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
Don't you just call it a day at that
point?
You really be ask everyone to sit around for over 2 hours while you're downloading a new version?
And you get up on the mic and you say,
"We are deeply sorry. We're sorry.
Time is very important to us.
We're sorry.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Wait a few more minutes.
We're sorry."
And they'll get up and storm out.
That does sound so muggish, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound muggy? It
really does.
Yeah.
It's got mug all over it.
Dare you.
They got mugged.
They got mugged. What happened to them? How about this? Congratulations to Kate Upton. She's getting her own trading card from Topps Trading Cards. She's got the tops for the trading card, too, by the way. They are very clever. They're putting together a new trading card series called World Champions. And it's going to be mostly baseball players from today and yesterday. But they're going to insert special cards in the pack.
Okay.
They'll have numerous non-baseball celebrities on these cards, including Bobby Knight, Aaron Andrews from ESPN, Arnold Palmer, and Kate Upton getting her own trading card. So you buy all these cards trying to get yourself the rare Kate Upton trading card.
Well, it's worth it because you can't find a photo of her anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah, she's a mystery.
But if you are a Kate Upton fan, to have her trading card would be a boon. And then you could meet her someday and say, "Hey, I've got your trading card."
That would not make a good impression.
I'd like you to sign this for me. In blood. Think that'd be a turn on?
For you.
Yeah.
Not for her.
Son SpongeBob SquarePants. Having a hard time. He's 13 mean? Years old and looks like he may have dried out. The ratings have plummeted for SpongeBob SquarePants, leading to speculation that Nickelodeon may finally be done with the tiny little guy who lives in a pineapple.
Seriously. I had no idea they were still making that show.
Oh, yeah. Huge hit for a long, long time.
Seriously. Well, didn't they get as more than anyone should have out of that premise?
13 years out of a sponge
Come on.
That lived in a pineapple.
That's pretty spectacular.
That is pretty spectacular. Maybe it's time to let it go. Ratings have plummeted 29% amongst the coveted 2 to 11 demo that Nickelodeon is chasing after. So
those two-year-olds can be fickle.
They think maybe there's just too many reruns of SpongeBob on television that every kid has seen every episode.
It is on all the time.
SpongeBob SquarePants made up 31% of Nickelodeon's schedule last year.
Wow.
31% of all programs Nickelodeon showed were SpongeBob SquarePants episodes. And now that you can get it on Netflix, you can get it on DVD, it's just maybe super saturation. So maybe they need to wring out SpongeBob and move on. Thought that was sad news.
Yeah.
And we've got a new Tarzan, people. Kellan Lutz. Kellan Lutz of Twilight.
Come on now.
Has a guy ever looked less like his name than Kellan Lutz? Kellan Lutz sounds like your accountant.
Yeah, it does.
Lutz, Lutz, and Lutz. How can we help you?
It sounds like Lutz on 30 Rock.
That's right, yeah. But he will be the new Tarzan. He's a strapping young man, if you're not familiar with Kellan, the actor. He looks... he's buff, and he looks like Tarzan.
Is he the dog?
He was, I think he was one of the dogs. I don't think he was the dog. Spencer Locke. She is best known for playing Kmart in the Resident Evil movies. She is signed on to play Jane in the classic retelling of Tarzan and Jane. Apparently, this story is going to stay very close to the original story, which is Tarzan's parents, who are billionaire adventurers, get killed in an airplane crash. He is a toddler, and he is raised by apes in the jungle. And then eventually comes back home to regain his birthright, which makes him a billionaire.
But continued to throw his poo till he died.
That's true. A lot of people know that about Tarzan. He's always a poo thrower. That's what broke up him and Jane in the long run.
we get sad by a lot of these remakes that come along. This one sounds like it's been a long time since there's been a big Tarzan movie, and it's a story that we know works.
The quintessential Tarzan was made in the 30s. I mean, there really hasn't been a successful reboot in 70 years, so I don't think anyone's going to have their feelings hurt by a new Tarzan.
Yeah, I think this has potential to work.
I agree. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lance Bass from NSYNC. He celebrates his 33rd birthday today. Erin Andrews, we're just talking about her trading card. She's 34 years old. Kamora Lee Simmons, she's been married to Russell Simmons, of course. Mm-hmm. 37 years old today. She's a TV personality and fashion designer. Mike Dirnt of Green Day is 40 years old. Actor Will Arnett is 42. Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 61 years old. And legendary king of the surf guitar, Dick Dale.
Yeah.
Timing.
He's red hot today.
Muggs says, yeah, as a stall tech. Timing.
Come on, listen to
this. Surprise, Muggs?
Bean, yes.
Come on, listen to this.
Sounds like a surfer on meth.
That's what it is, baby. The legendary surf guitar of Dick Dale. He's a legend. He's 75 years old today. That's a cool sound. Very distinctive. You don't hear that and think, oh, who's that playing? You go, that is some Dick. I love me some Dick. That's what you say.
I don't know that I've ever...
You've often said that.
Hey, what the... I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
As I was trying to mention a little while ago before Roland so rudely interrupted, Kevin and Bean, that's us, are going to be broadcasting live starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon out from the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Irvine. And all day long, you can go to krock.com and check out the webcast. You can see the performances from every band live and uncut starting at 2 o'clock. Pretty good deal, right? If you can't be there in person, get
Absolutely.
A chance to stream it right online. Well, drinking your own urine is in the news, and we're going to find out in a moment why Kevin did it. But this story, if you haven't heard, let me give you the 60-second or less version. Here's a kid in San Diego, 23 years old. He's at a party, and the cops are called, and it turns out there's a ton of drugs at the party, and 9 people are arrested. He only admits to smoking pot, said he didn't have anything to do with all the other hard drugs that were in the place. 9 people are arrested. 7 of them they book into various jails. 1 is released. He somehow is left in a holding cell with the Drug Enforcement Agency. DEA puts him in a cell and forgets about him. It's apparently one of those cells that doesn't have bars, so you can't see into the cell, so you don't know that there's somebody there. And they just
a holding cell. So he's just sitting there for 5 days.
For 5 days, he is sitting there. Now, I don't know if it's been a while since you thought about this or not, but you die in about 3 days if you don't have something to drink. So this poor kid, Daniel Chong, really didn't have a lot of options if he was going to try to keep any kind of moisture in his body, but to drink his own urine. I don't know how he was able to do that. I don't know what he put it in to be able to save it so that he could then drink it.
He drank it out of the spigot.
I don't think he did that unless he's a lot more limber than we are. He also says, by the way, and the tail end of this story is that he is suing for $20 million. But he was in very bad shape. When they took him to the hospital after he was discovered, they had to put him in intensive care for 3 days. I mean, his kidneys were failing. I mean, the kid really did have some trouble going.
He's probably thinking, look, I know I'm in trouble, but for God's sakes, when's someone coming?
Right, exactly. At one point, he tried to commit suicide by breaking his glasses to try to stab himself with it because he was going so crazy. So, I mean, this really affected him very, very deeply. But drinking your own urine, I'm sure it wasn't something he was looking forward to, but he realized he had to do that or he was going to die. Now, your story, not quite so dramatic, Kevin, right?
Well, of course not, no. My stories are never that dramatic. They're always
Was it just a bed? Was it just a guy said I'll give you $5 if like so often happens with
when
you?
When I was in high school, I went to a camp called Challenge Wilderness Camp, and it's one of those camps where it's an extreme camp, and you backpack for like 2 weeks up to the top of mountains. You bring all the food, you bring tents, and you're out for 2 weeks on the trail, and it's fantastic. But they were teaching us, you know, how to survive. So, and it was voluntary, I'll give you that, but
okay.
So the instructor said, you know, if you have to, this is a way to help yourself. Who wants to try it?
In other words, to avoid being dehydrated, to get some liquid in you,
right.
Be aware that this is, but did they, like in the Army, I
think.
The
instructor did it.
In the Army, don't they have some sort of a way of heating it up and kind of separating the part that's drinkable from the part that's really not so good for you to put back into your body?
I don't remember my Army days.
No, but I'm just saying, was that part of the deal that they were teaching you how to do, was how to filter it a little bit to make it healthy?
Just straight
up?
Hey, this works. So then they said, any volunteers? Now, you know me, now. Can you imagine me in high school? I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
What? That doesn't sound like something you would volunteer for. That sounds like something you would make fun of other people for being crazy enough to do.
But the instructor just did it. So
right.
So and everybody else was scared. So I was like,
so
I'll
now
lead
it's
the
a macho
way.
Off. Now you've got to show that you're as tough as he is.
I'll lead the way. I'm man versus wild. So I did, and it's really not good.
Really,
pee is bad. It's what your body doesn't want.
Right. That's the whole point. Is what's being eliminated for your health. Exactly.
But there's some moisture in it, so it can keep you alive.
Were you the only one who did it?
Yes.
Out of the group?
I knew you were
going to
ask that. Me and the instructor. I knew you were going to ask that. Yeah, because it was voluntary. So and everyone else saw me, and then I went, wow, that's bad. And they all went, nope.
Well, maybe what they did is they filed it away in their memory going, okay, this is good information to have in the event that I'm ever involved in a plane crash and I have no other way to survive. Okay, I'll do that. But there's no reason to do it today is probably what happened.
Probably. Right.
So,
but this dude did it, and he stayed alive.
So the urine story is in the news, and that gave Kevin, brought the memory up of what happened to him. And then we thought, look, I know we've done a lot of phone topics, but we've never done this one before. But we're going to look for people who have had circumstances where they have had to drink their own urine.
Now, that I don't know that we'll get any calls, but it does seem to be like you would have to be in an extreme situation to do that. Unless you're me.
Unless you're Our Lady on My Strange Addiction.
I like warm pee.
Oh.
It's comforting. First time I drank my urine, I didn't throw up. And it wasn't horrible.
Yes, it was.
So I thought, you know what? I can do this.
No. No. By the way, the warm part of it is the worst. I don't know. It's just, it's the whole idea.
Right.
I'd have it. You know what I would do? I would chill it. I would chill it to about 40 degrees. And then if it's nice and cold, maybe it's not quite so bad.
And then put in a little Red Bull.
Right. Maybe a little Red Bull, a little mixer.
Right. Okay.
A little chaser.
Fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
So what are the circumstances that you can envision somebody calling where they were in a situation where they would have to drink their own urine?
I can only imagine the same sort of situation.
Either survival techniques or jail.
Someone's an idiot, you mean?
someone have to call in if they were an idiot?
Well,
the other same situation as yours.
There's part of that, sure.
Yeah, you don't do a test run of that. The guy tells you, look, worst case scenario, if you're out in the if you're in the wilderness and lost, you can drink your own pee. I'm like, okay, boom, mental note. You got that. I'll put that in the back of my head in that emergency file if I'm ever lost in the wilderness. I don't need to do a test run. I don't need to be fine and then just, yeah, gosh, he's right. You can do that. I understand that I can swallow it if I have to.
So you're saying someday if a rock falls on your arm, you might have to cut it off with a blade.
Noted. Got that. Got that in the back of my head.
You don't have to do a trial run?
Let me see if I can do it. I'm not stuck now, but I'm going to see if I can just take the arm off.
Listen, this is one of those camps that was really challenging. It was really difficult.
Obviously. They made you drink your own pee.
Well, it didn't make me, but the instructor did it.
Right. So I said, oh, I just saw somebody do it. Now I know how it's done. Got that. That is in my arsenal.
Come on, you know me.
That is in my information bank.
You know
me. Well, that's what I was suggesting, is that's why nobody else did it, is they just thought, I don't need to do it right now. It's voluntary. I'll wait until it's essential, and then I'll know what to do.
And I'll tell you something. Chilling, it does not help. Doesn't help at all.
You've chilled it?
No, I haven't chilled it, but I have accidentally...
I forgot about this story.
Drank my own urine.
This is the best.
And it was chilled, and it didn't make a whit of difference.
Really?
Not that I've ever tried the warm stuff.
Well, I have.
I know.
I can tell you don't.
But I was in my car, and I was stuck in traffic, and I just had to. It was one of the situations. I was on the freeway. I just had to go to the bathroom. I had no choice. It was bumper to bumper. I could not get off on any off-ramp. And I had an empty water bottle in my seat next to me. I had been drinking water while in the car, and the bottle was empty.
Right.
So I said, well, this is a worst-case scenario. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to unzip here in traffic, and I'm going to fill the bottle.
Oh, my God.
And that'll just relieve. I mean, I would have overflowed the bottle, but it'll take some of the pressure off until I can get to the nearest bathroom.
Then you found a second bottle and a third bottle.
So I filled the bottle, and then I just capped it, and I just put it in my console there in between the seats. And I said, well, when I get home, I'll just remember to toss that in the trash.
If you were in traffic, why don't you just pour it out the window?
Because I don't want anyone to see me pour a bottle of urine out my window.
Well, now you have a bottle of urine in your car.
It's not radioactive, Kevin. It's got a cap on it. I'm not worried about it. It's not a time bomb.
It's not hurting anybody.
I can dispose of it properly. I can throw it in the trash.
All right. Did you?
Well, I forgot.
Oh, hey. How about
so
that?
So the next morning, I'm driving here to work, and I'm driving along, and I'm like, damn, you know, I'm kind of thirsty. And I see it's dark out, you know, because we drive here in the dark. In the corner of my eye, I see my water bottle there in the console. And I said, oh, great, I got a bottle of water here. I'm just going to take a swig. So I uncap it, and glug, 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 I take a nice pull off of that. And it had been chilled because it was overnight. It was cool overnight in the car, so it was chilled. And I was like, that water is what the hell? I thought, and at the time, I was a smoker, and I said, did I put a cigarette out in this water? What is that taste? Oh, it's like, it's horrible. And then I realized, oh, no.
That isn't good for you.
One of those slow motion moments when I said, oh, now I remember what I did.
Who's dumber? Bottle. Who's dumber?
The guy who says, yeah, pass me the urine, I'm going to drink it on purpose.
I don't know. You did it on accident.
Right. It was an accident. The guy who's dumber is the guy who doesn't knowing what he's drinking. If someone said to me, here is a bottle of freshly chilled urine, I would say, oh, well, I am kind of thirsty. Let me get a pull off of that.
But we were doing rappelling and all this extreme stuff.
And there was no water to be had anywhere.
No, there was water.
Oh, well, then drink the water.
But we were learning survival skills.
If I had a choice between drinking my urine and water in that car, I would have picked the water.
If I'm ever in the wild and you are in the wild, I will win, sir.
No, I know I can drink my pee. I just don't have to do it.
Oh, no, this is too gross. I don't want to. I've already done that. I've already taken care of that. I know what it is. I'm set.
Right, listen, guys. This is going
to
shock you.
I'm ready to be dropped in the middle of the mountains, man.
Oh, I'd like to drop you in the middle of the mountains.
We have to pause briefly, but Daniel, please hold on. Bell, please hold on. Travis, please hold on. We're taking your calls. You drank your own urine. What were the circumstances? Why? 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming right up on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
And have a good breakfast, everybody.
So we found out yesterday that Kevin drank his own pee.
Alcohol may have been a factor.
Well, it may have been a factor. He claims he was completely straight and sober and did it because somebody basically dared him to.
That's why I started drinking.
We're taking your calls right now. Just briefly, we don't have much time because we have Chael Sonnen coming up here in just a second to talk UFC. But let's get in a couple to find out what the circumstances were. Belle has a weird story. She is on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Belle. Thanks for hanging on. How'd you end up drinking your own urine?
Hey, guys.
Hey. She's so cheery. Go ahead.
It's morning.
When I was a kid, something happened to my kidneys, and they started shutting down really quick. And after all the treatment was done, they still needed some push to work better. And the doctor basically told me that you should make them process what's already been processed. So I was forced to drink my own pee in order to push start the kidneys.
Did you think he was kidding at first and say, come on, seriously, what am I supposed to do?
I don't know anything about how that stuff works, but I just don't understand how that would make your kidneys start working. That's so bizarre.
Well, it seems like if her kidneys are on the verge of working, maybe this is simpler for them because
it was a push start.
A push start, as she says. All right.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Hey, let's talk to Travis. He's on line five. Remember we were talking about Army survival training and sometimes how drinking your own urine comes into play. Travis, tell me about that. What's the deal there?
Hey, guys. I was in the Army for 4 years. Did some survival training. They taught us how to, drink our own urine to, hydrate us. That was the first time we had to do it. All of us kind of stood around. We all peed in a little.
We don't need all the gritty details, but
we did it all together, and we were like, that's disgusting.
Did you do it like Kevin did, where you just drank it, just like the way it came out of you, or do you do something where you heat it up or try to separate it a little bit to make it a little healthier?
They just, taught us to drink it right out of the cup.
Wow.
Directly out of the spigot.
I'm with Kevin. I think all these people are just playing with you when they tell you that.
I also did it a second time. I don't know. I was deployed to Iraq twice.
Yeah.
I sort of did the, we called them pee bottles. You're on patrol for 8, 10
okay,
hours.
Okay, but then that second one was an accident.
Yeah, the second one was an accident. Yellow Gatorade bottle.
I got you.
You're tired.
I got you.
Wow. Thanks very much for the call.
Hey, can I change my story to Army survival training, Bean?
It's way better, right? Wolf writes in, hey, Kevin and Bean, Rafael Marquez, a famous mid-welter boxer, ritually drinks his own urine after a workout. He says it helps maintain his stamina.
Does that, yeah.
Let's close with Jim, because this is the only possible reason I can imagine drinking your own urine, and it's Jim and his story. Hey, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Basically, we were drinking some drinks one night, and my buds were like, hey, I got $20 on you filling up that Corona bottle and taking care of business.
Right.
And
so you did it for a bet.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm an idiot. You got paid for it.
how much?
So first guy threw in $20, and then all the other guys were like, man, I want to see it. So I ended up getting like $60 out of it.
And how did it go down? Was it worth it?
No, it was awful. It was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. And the kind of condition of the bet was like, hey, guys, I at least need some kind of chaser, right? And so unbeknownst to me, they'd gone and filled up a second Corona bottle with one of theirs.
They're the best. The
yeah. So I took care of mine, and I was like, all right, give me that chaser. Give me it. I get into it, and I'm like, this is not what I was expecting. And so I basically got a 2-for-1 deal.
All right. It's happy hour at your house.
That's fantastic.
Wow. At least he got $60.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
I lose.
The brilliant Jim Jeffries joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, and your chance at the final tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta, which is tomorrow. Kevin, before we bring Chael Sonnen on, take me back to this clip that we're about to play. You were watching that night when Chael just overtook the interview with Joe Rogan and made what was at the time a shocking announcement, right?
He won the fight, and then Rogan asked him something about it, like how did it feel or how do you feel like the fight went, and Chael Sonnen just grabbed the microphone.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck. I'm calling you out, Silva, but we're up in the stakes. I beat you. You leave the division. You beat me. I will leave the UFC forever.
Uh-oh.
So that happened.
We'll find out Saturday, July 7th, UFC 148, Anderson Silva versus Chael Sonnen, The Revenge. And the tickets go on sale today at noon if you want to be there in person at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. And, of course, at the time when July rolls around, you'll be able to see that on pay-per-view. Chael Sonnen, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
Awesome to be here. Good morning, guys.
Good to have you.
It's awesome to have you, too. Was that the right thing to say? Are you still standing by those remarks you made that night of UFC 136?
July 7th, gentlemen. We're putting it all on the line. July 7th. I'm not in this to just be another guy. We're either going to be the champion or move on and do something else.
You will quit the UFC still, you're saying. If you lose.
I will remain undefeated.
Okay.
And undisputed.
Okay.
On July 7th.
Okay.
If but you don't you mind know. My saying, that's weird because you've been defeated.
And how's everything with you guys?
Very
today?
Good, thank you. All right? We're doing well.
Where's Lisa this morning? I was told she'd be here. Is she not with you now?
She has jury duty today.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, she's doing her civil duty, I guess.
Yeah, they okay, called her. They called her away. But Chael, here's what I don't understand. You're obviously a great fighter. You've won dozens of fights. You can still make a living and be a UFC fighter even if you lose to this one guy. Why throw it all away just because you lose to one guy? I don't understand the logic behind that. It seems like you're leaving a lot of money on the table.
Well, it's not always about money, gentlemen. Sometimes it's about principle. So sometimes there's things bigger in life. And I came from a wrestling background, and we never got paid anyway. I didn't get into the sport for the money or the fame. I got in it for other things.
Now, the last time you fought Anderson Silva, I mean, pretty much had the fight for 4.5 rounds at least and then got submitted. That must have just played tricks on your mind.
I appreciate you watching it. And, you know, yeah, it was a good hard match. And, you know, part two's coming up. So I appreciate you saying that. It was a couple of years ago. We've made some adjustments, and we're going to make it right on July 7th.
All right.
All right, let me ask a variation of my last question, Chael, and that is, why do you hate Anderson Silva so much more than you seem to hate all the other fighters? What's the particular beef with him?
Well, we don't want to hate any human being, but, you know, look, I don't appreciate him. I he's very insincere. He's a consummate unprofessional. He's very dishonest. He's very ingenuine. And I don't like it. And that's it. And it's not a secret. And, you know, look, we all have people we work with every now and then that we wish we could go beat up.
You're
and
telling
in my
me.
Line of work, I can.
No, that's a good point.
Does it help you get yourself up for the fight? To talk like that? To think like that? To make the other guy the enemy? Does that help you fight better?
You know, I don't know if it does or not. I think... I don't think it would hurt anything, but you know, you got to block those things out. As an athlete, you know, you generally come up with a mindset or an approach before a competition, and you know, it's just competition at the end of the day. I don't have to dislike my opponent.
So we're talking to Chael Sonnen, by the way, on the phone. The fight is Saturday, July 7th, and tickets go on sale today at noon from Ticketmaster if you'd like to be there. And by the way, July 7th is the week of July 4th. You get Wednesday off, so you just take like a Thursday and Friday and head to Vegas.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. That's a sweet deal right there. MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas is where it's going to be. And again, the tickets are at noon today. Cheap seats, $125. You can end up spending up to $1,200. By the way, for $1,200, I ought to be in the octagon, right? I mean, that's wow.
Yeah, I'd
right?
like to see you in the octagon. That would be.
Hey, Chael, you're so famous for your focus and for your intensity. Is that what people are going to learn from you when they buy your new book that's coming out later this month?
You know what? The book touches on all sorts of an array of topics. It's mainly a political book, a history book about the Vietnam War and the Richard Nixon administration. But it'll talk about everything. It was some childhood stories, some things I needed to get off my chest. And yes, The Voice of Reason is the number one book right now at Amazon.com. I appreciate you bringing that up. You see that? You've finally done something for me. You should feel good about yourself for mentioning that. The shoe is finally on the other foot for a second, boys.
The Voice of Reason, a VIP pass to enlightenment is the name of the book, and you can get it, pre-order it now. It comes out on May 15th. If when you're out of the UFC, whenever it is, whether it's after this fight or a couple of years down the road, is politics where you think you'll head next, Chael?
You know, I really don't know. I have an interest in it. It's probably my most favorite pastime. But it's also a very frustrating and annoying topic to be part of. I never got involved with it because it was a job I wanted to do. It was just a job I was willing to do. And I get involved because I care. But I couldn't say for sure. I got interest in a few different areas.
It's gotta be. You would be great at campaigning, though. At calling
I appreciate
your people.
That.
You really would. Tell us about the UFC Brazil press conference. What was that like? Of course, you went down to Brazil because that's where Anderson Silva's from.
It was awesome. We went into Rio. You know, we fly in. We fly all night. We get there. We fly from a helicopter, which was great for me. I'd never been on a helicopter, so this was awesome. I fly through Rio. Get to see the whole city, land at the press conference, do 3-4 hours in the city, fly right back out, and come back home.
Wow.
Well, it was really interesting. Generally, you go to a city to announce that you're bringing a fight to that city. We did just the opposite. We flew to Rio to say, we're not fighting in Rio. We're fighting in Vegas. And so it was a bit of a surprise. As a matter of fact, I wasn't privy to the fact that there was a venue change. When I flew out there, I thought we were fighting in Rio.
That's quite something to spring on you.
Yeah, I guess they figured the only way they could keep a secret, you know, keeping a secret is very hard in the sports industry.
Of course.
And so
yeah.
The only way that Dana White could keep it a secret was to just not tell anybody, including me. So, you know, we got out there and found out that the venue had been changed, and we all found out together, and I got on a plane and left.
Does that give you a little advantage in the fight, or does it make any difference? I mean, obviously, if he was in Brazil, he would have the home crowd.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know. I mean, I really don't know. I've never had to do that, you know, go to a different country and fight. At the end of the day, there's a lot of obstacles. And if you got to add an obstacle, we'll just put that on the list. You know,
right.
They're very hard things to do, getting ready for big matches. So why not add something to the list? But the bottom line is the fight's not in Las Vegas. The fight's not in Brazil. The fight's inside the octagon. And they can set that sucker up wherever they want. When they say go, I'm going to stomp this guy.
This is the fight UFC fans have been waiting for since the night of August 7th, 2010, and it is finally happening Saturday, July 7th at 7 o'clock, MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Be there in person. Tickets on sale today at noon through Ticketmaster.com. Again, July 7th. Chael, always very entertaining to have you on the Kevin Amin Show, man. Thanks for the time.
Take care, guys.
I'm Donna Dower, K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Donna.
Why is Doc on the Rock doing traffic in addition to news? What's
stop.
Going on? What's
stop.
I'm just,
behave.
No, I'm just asking. Let's
behave.
He's an old man. Give him some time off.
I'm bringing that back. I'm bringing O-Behave back.
Jim Jeffries comes up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Amin Show.
I heard he behaves, yeah.
Let's not bring that back yet. We're not quite ready.
Do I make you horny, baby? Yeah.
No.
My middle name is Danger.
No.
Shagadelic, man, yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Is that good? Austin Powers, I'm bringing it back. Congratulations to Julia Louis-Dreyfus, having a very good year. Her show, The Veep, just got renewed for a second season over there on HBO. I'm glad to hear it. That's a funny, funny show. She and James Gandolfini, former Sopranos star, of course, are in talks to make a new movie together about a masseuse who falls in love with the husband of one of her new clients. Gandolfini will play the husband. Not the masseuse, thank God. I'm not sure if Julie Louis-Dreyfus is going to play the wife or the masseuse, but...
Let's hope wife.
Let's hope wife. Hope Kate Upton plays the masseuse.
That's what I'm saying.
The giggity.
By the way, I think Julie Louis-Dreyfus is very attractive as well.
I do not.
I do, too, but
she's very attractive.
Not as attractive as Kate Upton.
No, certainly not. No one is.
That's what I'm saying. Another day, another reboot of a classic film. This time, it's Little Shop of Horrors. Here's the thing. Not a very good movie the first time around. It was a low-budget Roger Corman horror flick, exploitation movie, about a nebbishy florist who grows a man-eating plant.
Look up nebbishy.
Named Seymour. The nebbishy florist was Seymour.
Ah.
Not the plant.
Got it.
And it was low-budget Roger Corman, probably best known for having... a young Jack Nicholson in a small role in that film. So it became a sort of a camp cult classic, and then they made a big Broadway musical out of it called Little Shop of Horrors. And that became a big hit, and then they made a movie version of that with Rick Moranis and Steve Martin. That was a good-sized hit. And now Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Wow.
Wants to take on the project, play Seymour, and do it as a straight movie again, not a musical. Interesting concept.
At some point, does he yell,
"Damn you, Sharktopus!" No, no, he does.
Oh, okay.
If he wants it to be a hit, he might want to consider that. Damn you, man-eating plant! Try to remember the name of the man-eating plant.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Really doesn't matter at all.
Feed me, Seymour! That's how he talked. I think it was named after his girlfriend.
Ryan Gosling.
It wasn't Ryan Gosling. No, not Lucille.
Sure doesn't
come
matter.
Come on, people. Help me out here.
I don't know.
Here's the thing about that.
What was the name of the plant?
Doesn't matter.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
It was
Seymour's
I don't even
Elvis.
Know what that is.
Is it Audrey?
Audrey, that's it. Audrey 2. Yeah, she was Audrey. Audrey was the girlfriend. Audrey 2.
I was wrong. That was worth
the plant. Was it?
That was quite a payoff.
Now you know, Kevin. You'll never forget.
Yes, well, I already did.
They're bringing Tarzan back to the big screen as well. Kellan Lutz of Twilight fame is going to be the new Ape Man. Spencer Locke, best known for playing Kmart in the Resident Evil movies, she has signed on to play Jane in the remake on the big screen.
Is she hot? Because that's super important.
Edgar Rice Burroughs. She is way hot.
Okay, good.
And so is he. A lot of eye candy in Tarzan and Jane coming up. Hollywood Reporter says Tarzan's story will remain close to the original books, where Tarzan's parents were adventurers. They were killed in an airplane crash, leaving behind a baby to be raised by apes. Could happen. Apes could raise a baby.
Of course.
Sure. Or eat it. One or the other. In this case, they chose to raise it. And he became the ape man. And then he's discovered in the jungle by Jane. Wow-chicka-pow-pow. Next thing you know, cheetah's in there and they're swinging on vines. CW has renewed shows Supernatural, Vampire Diaries, and 90210 for another season. Good news for CW fans. Still in the bubble, however, are Heart of Dixie, Ringer, The Secret Circle, Gossip Girl. Oh, I love the Gossip Girl. And sadly, to report for you, Kevin, Nikita, apparently.
Don't! What?
They still have not made a decision on Nikita.
I love that show.
I know. That's why I was...
It's in my top three.
I was...
Better not cancel that show.
I have no say-so in this. I'm just trying to...
Badass on you.
Prepare you for the bad news. Ashton Kutcher is doing an online ad where he plays a Indian in brownface. The ad has been yanked after complaints of racism.
Obviously.
It's for Pop Chips.
Oh, those are good.
They are good. I love those Pop Chips. It is an online ad campaign where Ashton Kutcher plays a bunch of different characters in a dating service video. He plays like a hippie and like a biker and like a gay fashionista. And he also plays a Bollywood producer.
Right.
But he does the stereotypical sing-song Indian accent. Like, Beans... Classic Indian accent.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sounds a lot like that.
Right.
And he's in brown face.
So it's clearly meant just to be funny.
That's the problem, I think, is it's clearly meant to be funny. It is so not funny.
Oh, they failed on the funny part?
That I think if it had been funny, people would have been willing to give it a pass. But he is so horrible in all of these roles, not just this particular one.
He's no Bean when it comes to voices.
But the Indian community find it offensive that they're doing sort of stereotypical stuff. And so Pop Chips have pulled the clip from their website.
Here we go! It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody!
YouTube.
It's going down! It's going down!
So you can check that out.
Hey, you don't want to mess with Indians. There's way more of them than there are of us. And they have all the same bombs we have. So they do win if we get into a war with the Indians.
Yeah.
And they're who we call when we need help with our electronics.
Exactly.
Still see the ad up on YouTube, but now that particular segment is missing. The other ones should also be pulled, by the way. Not because of anything offensive, just because they're so horribly not funny. Really, really tragically not funny.
That's what Ashton Kutcher is famous for. But let me ask you this question, and I hesitate to even ask this, and I'm not at all trying to be politically incorrect. Maybe I'm just naive.
Get our lawyers on the phone.
Come on.
Or
now.
Ignorant.
Might as well just schedule a meeting now.
But if I'm an Indian guy, if I'm a regular Indian guy who doesn't look like that or talk like that, but I'm an Indian guy and I see Ashton Kutcher doing that commercial, why should I be offended by that? Like, how could it possibly affect me whether Ashton Kutcher wants to spend 15 seconds being an Indian guy in a television commercial? What's the hurt? What's the harm there?
Dude, you're using logic. Some people have to be hurt. That's their lot.
But
in life.
I mean, I don't think he's doing it to be offensive to Indian people.
But if you're playing off of those hackneyed stereotypes in order to make a joke, dressed up in the Nehru jacket with the Bollywood colors and everything, and you're putting on the brown skinned makeup, and you're horrible at it, if it's horribly unfunny,
then you look at it and you go, "What a jackass!" And you move on to whatever it is you're doing.
See why that would be offensive. I can see it.
But do you think there are no people like the Indian that he's the version of the Indian that he's doing?
No, of course Of course there are, but
that's my point.
But it's a stereotype. It doesn't represent an entire culture. It just represents that one type of person. What if it was blackface? What if he put a blackface and he started speaking Ebonics in a spot for Pop Chips? Do you think that would be okay?
Look, here's what I'm saying is not every representation of every race has to represent everybody in that race. Sometimes it's just one version
and
of
I'm
that.
Saying this isn't an independent feature film where they're trying to make a comic point. They're trying to sell potato chips by riding on the back of people's stereotypes. Yeah, I think because it is a complete cash grab, it's for complete financial and commercial enterprise, and it's horrible on top of it. I think it's... I can see why people would be offended.
They probably don't have the equivalent of Ashton Kutcher in India either. So they don't understand how bad that could possibly be.
What a genius he is?
Yeah.
from the creative mind of Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah.
No, I get your point.
Look, I'm not a politically correct guy at all, but in this particular case, I can see why people might get a chapped ass over it.
I just think offense should be taken, not given. That's all I guess I'm saying.
Ah, I don't know what that means.
I'm going to... think about that as well.
I'm going to write that down. I'm going to make it a t-shirt, and I'm going to embroider it on a pillow. I'm going to stare at it. I'm going to figure it out.
Can you call me when you get done with that? Because I
can't
embroider.
Okay. Right. Today's celebrity birthday is Lance Bass. What?
Huh?
Lance Bass of NSYNC. Is he in space yet?
No.
Oh, he's 33 years old today. Aaron Andrews, sports reporter for ESPN, is 34. Kimora Lee Simmons from reality television fame and the fashion design world. She is 37.
She got a bell, by the way, 5 plastic surgeries ago, but she has no longer earned it.
She's weird. Now she's like
an alien.
An alien now. An overstuffed alien. Like,
she used to be pretty.
She's going to burst at the seams.
But she makes up for it with a horrible personality.
She is incredibly entitled on every level. And she's a bad mother, too. You can just watch her.
God,
just mothering skills just horrible. 37 years old today. Mike Dirnt from Green Day is 40. Will Arnett turns 42. Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 61. And legendary rock musician, king of the surf guitar, Dick Dale. Years old today. Can you hear that song anymore without thinking of Quentin Tarantino?
No. Nope. It's all Pulp Fiction.
But it is a great, great song named Miserloo by Dick Dale. If you're a guitarist at all, you should look into him. Even if you don't like that surf music. Pretty talented.
Jim Jeffries, back on the Kevin Abey Show.
Oh, hello, boys. Good morning.
In studio, performing at the Irvine Improv tonight. 2 big shows at 8 and 10, tomorrow night 7 and 9, and then Sunday at 7 o'clock. Tickets are only $25 and are available at
only
$25.
I'm being screwed.
You
priced me at $25.
We have a lot of $28.50, Jim.
Yeah, that's all right. You got to put in that little fee that Ticketmaster so graciously put on everything.
We have a lot of comedian friends, but you're one of our favorites and one of the funniest in concert.
Well, thank you.
Definitely, people should show up. Thank you for doing the April Foolishness.
I have a lot of radio shows that I'm friends of, and you're in the top 20.
All right.
Wow, so. That is impressive.
Closer to the 20?
You'd be in the top three. I'll put you in the top three.
Thank
How about
you.
That?
Jim, let me ask you this, because last time we had you on was ahead of April Foolishness. And
sure.
You mentioned something that I hadn't even noticed, which is that you were the only person for year number 4 who was coming back from year number 3. You were the only person coming back. And you were thinking, you know, wow, I really got to bring it, you know, because a lot of these people may have seen me last year. I thought you were in the top 3 of the comedians that night.
Oh, thank you.
How did you feel it went your second time at Foolishness?
I feel it went about the same as it did the first time. Maybe I was on a bit later, so the audience wasn't. I had the middle spot the year before. Mm-hmm. I felt like after Larry King, it was hard for anyone.
Sure.
Yeah, no, that was always going to be a problem. Brad Williams had the gig of the night. I'm sure many comics have already been on and already mentioned it. Brad Williams,
he's the little man, 4'4", and stole the show.
After the gig, for some reason, my dressing room became like the party room, and I wasn't even there. But I know that everyone is like, I was there for a second, and all the booze and everyone. I remember people stealing the booze from, because the gifts you gave us were bottles of alcohol,
right?
And the booze was stolen from all the sober comics. So Jay Moore's room was raided, and then Izzard's room.
These guys
raided.
Don't drink. Take their beer.
Well, Izzard drinks a bit, but I don't think he's not garish enough to carry it in a bag out with him. So he left. And you guys gave us like this bladder of vodka like that. Like it was a margarita mixer that had a pump on top of it, like a hand wash. Was the year before, you gave us like a backpack with like shoes and a belt.
So this was better?
And I'm in there, and Brad Williams, like, all 2'5" of him or something, has just got a 6-foot-tall woman sprawled on top of him, and
That's his life.
Everywhere. Just he explained it to me once very perfectly. I said, how do you get all these girls back to the hotel? Every time I'm going to do a gig with him, he's back at the hotel with like two girls, three girls.
Yep.
And I said, how do you do it? And he goes, when you ask girls to go back to your hotel room, there is a sense that it could become dangerous.
Right.
When I go back, you know, like when you're going back to my hotel room, you're having sex with me. Right. Right? You can't change your mind later
Are
on
you
because
talking
it's
to
too.
Me personally, well, or just
either any tall person.
Okay.
Right? But when he takes them back, it's like, there's no rape going to happen. You can kick the hell out of Brad Williams.
So it's 100%
safe. 100%
safe.
Anyway, so he's laying there, and this cute girl comes in, and I was with my girlfriend, so I wasn't flirting, but I started talking to this cute girl who was staying with Brad, and she starts making dwarf jokes at Brad, right?
Uh-huh.
And I've had a few beers at this stage, and I thought to myself, no, I'm not going to put up with this. Brad's my friend.
You're going to stand up and be the man.
So I said, excuse me, can you stop? Brad's my friend, and I don't appreciate you talking this way. And she went, really? Brad's my brother. And I went, oh, carry on then.
I met her. She was very cute, by
the way.
She was
very cute and of regular size.
And then they had sex, or?
No, of course.
Kevin, just ask.
What do you want to be like that for? That's horrible way to talk.
Let me ask you this, Jim, because we have had a great time dissecting foolishness as we do every year. Because we're in awe of what you guys do. The fact that you can stand up on a stage and just talk for 45 minutes or something like that, it blows our minds because it's just a skill we'll never have. But in the crowd, when Jim Jeffries is on stage, you go too far for some people.
Oh,
sure,
yeah.
Sure.
There are people who look, everybody has a line, and you cross most everybody's lines with your age jokes and with all the other stuff that you do. How carefully have you learned your craft to the point where you can walk it, where you can be as successful as you are, but still make so many people uncomfortable?
Well, I think that's part of the success as well. You know, you don't have to have everyone like you. You can be more successful with 20% of the people hating you. I like when I did that gig, I went out and all I had was like one story that I wanted to do. And then,
which was great. That was the airplane story.
The airplane
right?
story. Yeah. Okay. And then the rest of it, I just sort of went, I'll just talk a bit. You know, yeah. I talked a bit about Whitney Houston dying and the disease of progeria, which is, you know, which is a rare subject for comedy matter. And, but it was really just after the story was done, it was me just running out my 25 minutes.
But you don't worry. Is there any kind of a filter, or are you one of those comedians where you think I can make anything funny no matter how grim it is?
As long as it doesn't offend me, I'm not worried about saying it. I know that sounds like a very selfish thing, but I just don't want to upset myself on stage.
Sure, because then you'd have to walk out on yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Does anything offend you?
I don't like it when people say joke flippantly about suicide, for example, because I've had some people commit suicide in my life, and I've suffered with depression over the years, and I don't like people, because people very flippantly talk about that.
Right.
Like it's, but if you talk about cancer, which I consider the same level of illness as suicide, right? Probably suicide's worse because there's no recovery
right.
from suicide, right? But I don't get offended when other comics talk about it because I realize that it's just a personal thing to me that I don't like. But I don't want to talk about that when I'm on stage because I don't want to think about it.
You know, it's funny because I have to tell you the story of the woman that stormed out during your set and what she said.
What, in 7,000 people? That's statistically pretty good.
We need to take a break. Jim Jeffries is here tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday night. He is at the Irvine Improv. Tickets are only $25. Come on, people. That's a steal right
Very
there.
Very reasonable. I think the shows tonight are already sold out.
Oh, they are.
So
okay.
You have to Saturday, Sunday is really what you got to go for. But you can check on tonight, but I was told they were already sold out.
And we will come right back with you.
Jim Jeffries in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, appearing on stage at the Irvine Improv. We did some checking for you, Jim. You are sold out at 8 o'clock. A few tickets left for the 10 o'clock show tonight.
Ah, there you go. There
and you
go.
Got two shows tomorrow night and then again on Sunday. And by the way, in a couple weeks, you're going to be out in Ontario, too, the weekend of May 18th. You're doing the same deal out in Ontario at the Improv there. So go to Irvine Improv for this week and Ontario Improv for that one, and all the details at jimjeffries.com. All right, Kevin, you were starting to tell a story before we had to break.
Yeah, Jim's on stage at April Foolishness, and he says what I thought was the funniest thing I've ever heard, which is, I'm AIDS away from looking good.
I really am. I think I finished it by saying, give me AIDS, and I look like Brandon Flowers from The Killers. I am. I'm like a good-looking AIDS victim.
But
victim.
Apparently, someone had somebody with AIDS in the family or something. She did not find it funny. She was sitting right behind me. She bolted.
Oh, I couldn't have had full-blown AIDS then.
As soon as you said that, she jumped. And she tapped me on the shoulder harder than usual, kind of like to get my attention for real.
Oh, okay. I thought this lady had tapped you on the shoulder before.
And no.
Okay.
Like, really kind of smacked me a little bit. Not
like,
tapped.
Hey, pay attention to me. I've got something to say now.
Yes. Yeah. And she said, don't laugh at this.
And you said.
And she stormed out.
And you said, don't touch me, AIDS-y.
If I was that
like,
funny.
Like, there's a rumor that it can't spread that way, but I still don't trust it.
If I was that funny, I would have said that, yes. But I was shocked. I was really shocked because I was laughing. I thought that was one of the funniest things. Nobody takes – that's the beauty of stand-up comedy is nobody takes anything seriously.
Well,
I'm
of the theory that you can't get offended by one joke. You got to be offended by all of it. I think I did a joke before that about Michael Phelps or something, and then I did a joke in between that was about gay people. And
No, it was only that one thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
Okay.
So what offends you mightn't offend someone else, so you've got to rationalize that in your brain.
And know that that's the kind of night it is,
yeah,
too,
I've seen a lot of offensive things. I have this one thing that I'm sensitive about. You can get upset about it, but then you got to override that with your head and go, yeah, but maybe the cancer jokes would upset someone else or whatever. Because
right.
I've got like a, you know, I'm doing a bit at the moment about how you shouldn't give to breast cancer as a charity. And that's upsetting
that
a lot of...
That does seem to rub people the wrong way.
Well, I'll tell you why, right? You should not give to breast cancer as a charity because it gets like something like 80% of all charitable donations go to breast cancer.
Right.
Because men love breasts, women love breasts, everyone loves breasts, right? We all have mums, some of us have sisters. It's the big thing. But they get 80% of all charitable donations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Colon cancer kills twice as many people, yet it gets half the amount of donation money that breast cancer gets. Right, because like in breast cancer, you got like the pink bat and the pink shoes and the pink ribbon. They've marketed it brilliantly.
They have, true.
And with colon cancer, no one wants to wear the brown ribbon with red spots on it.
That's a good point.
His own rim shot. I like that.
You know, it is true, right? And the facts are there, but people are still. But my mother and I'm not trying to offend people.
Right, who's,
you're not trying to upset people. It's just the. You get the punchline, then you work backwards.
I have a question for you that I've never asked, I don't think, a comic on this show before, Jim. But
yes, I will in my hotel rooms.
No. You're obviously a very smart guy and a very funny guy. Is it frustrating for you, operating at the level you are, to flip through the television dial and see what passes for comedy on most shows, on most channels? Do you just get angry at it, or do you just not watch it, or do you scream at the screen, or what?
I'm at the stage now where I can just watch the Food Network. You know, I like certain comedies and other comedies. I have to just, you know, I just have to accept them for what they are. It's not a matter of
what's a great comedy in your
like sitcom wise mm-hmm. at the moment. I think the Louis show's good.
Agreed.
Although in saying that, I don't laugh at it, but I like to watch the show.
Agreed.
I like The Office for the first few seasons, and now it's getting worse and worse. But I still watch it because I care about the characters. But I'm not laughing anymore. I'm starting to watch that show like a drama. Like what's
Soap
Andy
opera.
Up to? I hope he gets his job back. But Modern Family's good. I was a big fan of the most things that Ricky Gervais makes.
Agreed.
I really like. I think Life's Too Short is brilliant. I think that's one of the best things he's ever done.
Do you really?
Yeah,
because
I brilliant.
Love him. I've seen him do stand-up twice.
Yeah,
and I'm not that huge a fan of it.
I think it might be. I think it's great. The problem is, it's Warwick Davis basically doing David Brent. Like it's a David Brent from
he's
The Office.
Character,
he's
right,
off his
yeah.
character.
Right.
It's basically him doing that character. And there are a few too many dwarf jokes in it for my liking where they're back. But
and not enough
you,
Ricky Gervais for me either. So
I don't know. See, I don't know.
Maybe I haven't watched it
enough. I've never met Ricky Gervais. I've been in the same room as him several times. And for some reason, I think he dislikes me. And I've never talked to him.
That's based on nothing, right?
It's based on nothing. I feel like every day I check like at things in Twitter. And I know people are like, hey, what do you think of Jim Jeffries? Every day someone asks Ricky Gervais that and he's never answered. I I just think he dislikes me.
He only answers questions about there being no gods. That's all he does with his Twitter account.
I played the atheist convention the weekend before I played April Foolishness.
Oh, is that right?
Or it might have been the weekend after. It was around then. And it was pretty wild, actually. Going out there, I've never done a set before where I had to do 40 minutes on one subject, right? I've done a lot of 40-minute routines, obviously, but never where I've just had to talk about one subject. And so I had to remember every religious joke I'd ever written, and right before I was thinking, I don't know any of my old jokes. So I'm in the wings watching myself on YouTube, like mouthing along, like follow the bouncing ball to my old religious jokes before I went out there, and I panicked a little bit. And
why'd you want to do the atheist convention, by the way? Just because it's
the,
you know,
money.
The money
was outrageous. Plus, I'm an atheist.
Okay,
so I thought, you know, what the hell? The weird thing about all the scientists and stuff that the staunch atheists, the people who are actually pushing this forward in society a lot more, they all are going for the God look. Or the Jesus look. They all have white beards and long hair and telling me there's no God. And I go, why are you, you know, it's like being anti-gay but wearing pink everywhere.
Jim Jefferies is here. By the way, not only Irvine Improv tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday, and then at the Ontario Improv the weekend of May 18th. But don't forget, you can hear Jim with his good friend Eddie Eft on the podcast, too. Jim and Eddie talk shh. That's available through iTunes. JimJeffries.com is the website. The Twitter is @JimJeffries.
Yeah.
Listen, we might see you tomorrow. If you got some time in your busy schedule, you could be down there in Irvine. We'd love to have you swing on by and see the weenie.
I might come and see the weenie. You don't have to. I might just stay here for the rest of the morning as well. I don't have anywhere to go now.
That's fantastic.
Once I'm in, I'm in. Once you wake me up, I'm not going anywhere.
That's fine with us.
Well, listen, we got to give away some tickets right now. If you want to be there, this is your last chance to win tickets to the sold-out 20th Annual K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta. All the rest of them are gone. If you want to be there in the pit, we are looking for contestants right now at 1-800-520-1067. El Orchestra de la Raza is next. Your chance to win coming up on the Kevin and Bean. I believe that band was on the bill last year for the Weenie Roast, come to think of it. That is Sublime here on the world-famous K-Rock. This year's Weenie Roast is tomorrow. We have tickets for you in the pit to the sold-out 20th Annual K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta. And Kevin, since it's Cinco de Mayo this year, what better way to give away the very last pair of tickets than by inviting our favorite Mexicans back for El Orchestra de la Raza?
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orchestra de la Raza. ¡Sí se puede!
We're practically out of time now, but we do have callers on the line. And what are they going to be listening for, guys? Refresh our memory how this game works.
Well, we are going to be doing the instrumental parts of songs from Weenie Roast bands with our mouths.
La, 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 la. Now, most of the time we do lyrics, we do, you know, clips backwards or whatever. This is the actual, like, if you were to put the CD in and start playing it, it's the instruments. It's not the singing. Try to make this perfectly clear.
Okay.
All right.
So let's take some callers now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll just do them in order, starting with Kimberly. She gets in first on line one. Hey, Kimberly. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yes. Good morning.
All right.
Listen up. We're going to want title and artist of the song that the orchestra is going to be doing for you right now.
Okay.
Boom, bang, doom, wang, bing, bing, boom, bang, doom, bang, bing, bing, boom, bang, doom, boom, bang, bing, boom, bang, doom, boom, bang, bang, boom, bang, boom, bang, bang, bing, boom, bang, doom, bang, bang, bing, boom, bang, boom, bang, bang, bing, boom, bang, boom.
Okay, that's gentlemen, that's fine. Thank you very much. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Kimberly.
I always hope somebody's alarm's going off when they're doing that.
Title and artist, please.
Let's see. Silver Sun Pickups.
Yes.
Panic Switch.
Yeah.
All right, you are in the drawing. You're one step closer to winning your tickets in the pit.
Hang on. It's Hispanic Switch.
Whoa!
What?
Nice!
What?
Let's see how Elizabeth does. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May. Hi.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Final pair of tickets in the pit. Here's the orchestra.
Okay.
That's fine. We got it. All right, thank you. Thank you, guys. That's fine. Thank you. Elizabeth, what song? Title and artist.
I know it's Offspring, and I think it's Separated.
Oh, try.
Is that what it's called? Is that the one with the
Keep it Separated.
What's the title?
That's the parentheses part of the title, right?
The title of it is something else.
Sing the song.
Not Keep Us Separated?
No, I'm sorry. We were looking for the title is Come Out and Play.
You know what I'm going to say if I didn't know the song?
Yeah, sorry.
So close. I mean, she knows the song. She knows the lyrics, not the title, though. So sorry, Elizabeth. Let's try Chris. He's on line 3. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Hi. Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Good luck with this one.
Here we go. Okay, that's fine. Chris, what do you got?
Is the yeah part of it?
Is it Broham by Pennywise?
Yes!
The answer is Broham. All right, you are in the drawing along with Kimberly playing for pit tickets. It's El Orchestra de la Raza here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Up next is going to be Joseph. Hey, Joseph, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
All right, you ready?
Yes, yes, I am.
Song and band, please. Here we go. Okay.
I'm looking at it. It doesn't look anything. I would never get this one, would you?
Swag, swag, swag. No, I would never get this. Bean, I have a question for you, though.
Yes.
Would you ever listen to this
on the radio? I would never listen to this.
Oh, dear.
No, this is just a couple of Mexicans going loco. All right, what do you got there, Joseph?
Oh, man, that one's really, really hard to tell.
Do you even have a guess or no?
I don't really have a guess.
Incubus. Megalomaniac.
Yeah, that's
all right. I don't want to go out on a downer note, so let's do one more. Let's get one more contestant on. This is going to be Robert here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You don't want to go out on a downer note. We should have stopped 2 ago. Hi, Robert.
We should have stopped 2 ago.
There's your song. Good luck. What's happening?
Dave's done.
Your drummer's choking.
He's not going to get it, but let's end it there anyway. Robert, what song are they doing there? Title and artist, please.
Oh, man, that's a hard one.
It is. You guys are cold.
But we still want you to play.
I'll say...
come on, we're on the clock, dude.
Silverstone Pickup.
Yeah, wow, it's cold, and then play, and then Fox.
Coldplay.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
Oh, go Raiders. All right, thank you very much for the call.
Coldplay, dog.
Definitely.
Should have got that fool.
Kimberly and Chris are in the drawing. Lisa's out for jury duty, so Beer Mug, you tell us who's winning tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Rose Deep Fiesta tomorrow.
That would be Kimberly.
Yeah. Hello.
You win. You won, you won. You won, you won.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You will be in the pit. We will see you tomorrow.
Awesome.
Thank you, Orchestra.
De la Raza. Si se puede.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
I forgot to turn my mic on.
No, you know what I'm trying? I'm doing Beer Mug's job. While
What's he doing?
He's not setting up the board.
Why
right.
is he here?
How am I supposed to
Why
know?
Is he in my life?
That's a great question.
Why do I have to suffer with that?
What did I
tried to.
You didn't set this up so that Ralph could play a sound effect, and Ralph gets very upset.
It was there.
Shut up, Muggs, for God's sakes.
Seriously. We need a hologram of Mike Catherwood in here to do the job.
Great idea. Fantastic idea.
Or Tupac. Either one.
Ralph is here. Time for our showbiz beat for this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. What's going on?
Speaking of back from the dead, Michael Jackson is back.
Yeah! What?
Yeah. Wacko Jacko returns, and he's drinking Pepsi, baby.
Well, we're talking about Tupac coming back from the grave to perform at Coachella. Michael Jackson's coming back from the grave to shill Pepsi.
How's that happening?
The beverage giant made a deal with the late singer's estate to use his image for a new worldwide marketing campaign.
The image of his hair on fire?
Hey, wait a minute. That was... Anyone can have an accident. Mm. Back in 1984, Kevin is referring to Michael filming a Pepsi commercial that did set his hair on fire. And some people speculate it was that pain and the plastic surgery and the aftermath of that accident that caused him to start taking pain medication, which started a downward spiral of drugs and plastic surgery that eventually ended his life. Sure, but Pepsi has Michael Jackson back. That's what's really important. There'll be new TV commercials with Michael Jackson.
With a smart move. What's a smart move for them to do that?
That they filmed?
They will be filming with his image, a la Tupac coming back from the grave.
Oh, I see.
There'll be special edition cans with Michael's likeness on them. Especially for the kids, because Michael's always liked little kids' cans. So they'll make sure to put the image on those. And they will have chances to download remixes of some of his biggest hits via Pepsi and its website. The campaign will kick off in the next few weeks to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Michael's Bad album. Can you believe it? 30 years ago?
Wow.
That album came out?
No.
He made a lot of bad albums after that one, too.
Ziggity, ding, bing, bing. The Avengers, everyone's rushing to see it. 1,000 showtimes already sold out for this weekend.
It's on Showtime?
Showtimes. No. According to Fandango.com, you cannot see it in 1,000 engagements already. Maxed out. It opens on 2,500 screens, I believe, here in the U.S. So,
as a warning, because there was some confusion earlier in the week, when should you leave at the end of the Avengers movie?
Here's the thing.
It's the important thing.
There is a post-credits sequence that is indicative of what will be to come in the Avengers pantheon.
As they've been doing in all of these Marvel movies.
Yes.
So I knew that, and I watched it, and the credits rolled, and then I saw it.
Then there is another little bonus scene at the end of the credits.
You didn't tell me there was two separate ones. You said stay
till
the end.
Well, it's not my job to hold your hand through the movie-going experience, Kevin. Did I say stay to the end?
Yeah.
Did you stay to the end?
No.
Well, then what more can I do, urine drinker?
So wait till the lights go off,
right? I thought there was just...
I'm going to refer to you as urine drinker from now on if you don't mind.
I would love that.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the extra one and I was like, okay, yeah. I get it. Now I'm going to leave.
That's the important one. That's the big, big one.
Okay, all
There's
right.
a little bonus for folks who do stick around. There's a little bonus one at the end.
That's all right.
It's more of sort of a cute moment than it is sort of like a plot point that is key to the next film, like the first bonus one. So there you go. There's your tips for watching the Avengers. A lot of people are emailing me. I don't know. What's the cube? I don't understand what the Tesseract is. What do I need to know before I go in? I'm not a big comic book fan. Blah, 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 blah. Great list of pointers today in therap.com. If you go to therap with a W, W-A-R-P.com.
That's
warp. They give you the top five.
You mean W-R-A-P?
Did I say A-R-P?
Mm-hmm.
W-R-A-P.com. They give you the top five things you need to know if you're going into the Avengers blind, if you don't know anything about comic books.
It's a pretty simple concept.
It is. It's good guys versus bad guys saving the world, pretty much. So, today's celebrity birthdays. Flyers forward James Van Riemsdyk, who got raped last night by the refs. 23 years old today. Congratulations to your Kings, by the way, Kevin.
3-0.
I know.
Unbelievable.
They are looking really... They're not just... eking out these wins.
Best team in hockey.
They are punishing the Blues right now. They look outstanding.
And the Blues are good.
Yeah, they are a very good team.
Game 4 Sunday noon. Be there.
I can't. I got plans. Lance Bass from NSYNC is 33 years old today. Erin Andrews, sports reporter for ESPN, celebrates her 34th birthday. Mike Dirnt of Green Day is 40. Will Arnett, very talented and funny man, is 42 years old today. Mick Mars of Motley Crue turned 61. He's a spry 61, though. You'd, you'd barely know.
He looks 100, doesn't he?
He looks... He has health issues. That's the problem. He's not a healthy 61. And rock musician Dick Dale, legendary king of the surf guitar, turned 75 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about the Kevin Amin Afro Line on the air right now at 323-520-AFRO. This is the Kevin Amin official show voicemail. You call, leave messages. We play it back on the radio for you.
This, of course, is a fan of I'm the Best. Thank you for that call. Very important.
Swag.
Okay, so the game is called The Answer is Brohim, and you want us to name a song and a band? Is it AC/DC?
We've had some tremendous failures along the way with people trying to guess songs when we do contests. And for this particular one, for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, E-Fiesta, we had a problem with people coming up with Brohim. We couldn't believe it, so we did a game called The Answer is Brohim. So just to make sure everybody could get it.
Ralph's here with the movie beef.
Okay, that's Bean. I want to play it for you one more time. And then the call is about this particular intro.
Ralph's here with the movie beef.
Wait. Hold the phone. Did I just hear what I thought I heard? Did Bean say Ralph's booby beat? Booby beat! He said booby beat! You know, boobies!
I don't think that's what I said.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah. Ralph's here with the booby beat!
I think he did. I think he said booby beat. Sounded like it.
Wow, Bean.
I don't remember this conversation. It must have been while I was on vacation. But Bean does refer to his animals as his kids. That happens.
As millions of people do.
Wow. You just said, hey, your cow is your boy. Stop it. No. You stop it now, Bean. You stupid man. You stop it. Now. Your cow is not your boy. It's a cow.
Look, millions of people refer to their pets as members of their family. There's nothing unusual about that.
Millions of people are in jail. Doesn't make it right or good. This is the last known supporter of Beer Mug. This guy was holding on. He said, you know what? I'm, despite everyone else, going to give Beer Mug a chance.
Okay, I never thought I was ever going to have to do this because I was the only supporter of Beer Mug ever losing that weight. I just heard him endorse this stupid-ass Advil product. The worst person to endorse that product. A fat guy that can't even keep his weight off because he's too fat. He should have taken the bet that Ralph was trying to offer and everyone else to gain the 14 pounds. That fat is never going to lose the weight. I would argue with my girlfriend because she hates him. And I would support him and say, no, Beer Mug's going to do it this week. Just you wait. It's going to be 10 pounds this week. I gave up on him yesterday because he's a fat piece of shit.
Yeah, I think you've lost whatever support was out there for you, Beer Mug, because you've consistently made the wrong choices with your life.
You'll see.
Professionally and personally.
Bean, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Remember this song, Hot Girls?
Hot girls, we have problems too. We're just like you, except we're hot.
Know that we need calls of changing the lyrics to be about me.
Kevin, he's got problems too. He's just like you, except that he's dumb. Always sounding really drunk. Always saying dumb junk. What did you do?
Well done.
F you. And if you have thoughts, 323-520-AFR.
Time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin Amin Show. Here's Ralph Garman.
I gotta tell you, rare form today.
You are magical.
Rare form today. It's not just me, right?
No. Rare form today. It's Beer Mug in the best he's ever been. Truly.
I went to the Kings.
He's too hungry? Eat something. Maybe it's his blood sugar's too low.
I went to the Kings game last night, got home late, and I thought, wow, I'm going to really screw up a lot on Friday.
You've been a champ today.
I've been good. Mugs.
And then in comparison, on top of it, to Mugs, you seem like Stephen Hawking.
Thank you.
Yes. What are we going to do?
I don't know.
I'm not. It's not funny anymore at this point. What are we going to do?
It's always funny.
But it's getting less funny. What are we going to do is what I'm asking.
Hey, don't leave that decision up to me, because I've had an answer at the ready for months now.
What are you going to do? That's what I want to know.
The showbiz.
All right.
That's the answer.
Let's talk about showbiz. It's all Avengers all the time here. It's just blowing up, this Avengers movie. People waiting to see it, standing in lines, waiting for the midnight screenings to kick off. And it did very well in its midnight screenings. We got the numbers in from last night. $18.7 million last night. In 2,500 screens.
$18 million last...
Just for the midnight showings, yes.
What's the estimate, Ralph, for the weekend?
They are speculating anywhere between $150 and $170 million this weekend for Avengers.
And is there a record that we're shooting for?
Well,
here's the thing. A Harry Potter record or something?
It didn't do... it didn't break any records last night at the midnight screenings. The record for that is still held by Harry Potter, I believe. Yeah, Deathly Hallows Part 2 brought in $43 million at the midnight shows.
Wow. And so, this is 18?
It's only 18.
And by the way, 18 is as much as most movies make.
Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn made $30 million in its midnight shows. Hunger Games brought in about $20 million in its midnight shows. So it hasn't done as well as some others, but still they're speculating it'll make between $150 and $170 million over the weekend. Now keep in mind, it costs $220 million to make. It's already surpassed that in terms of overseas box office alone. Opened a week ago in 39 foreign countries and has taken in more than $280 million in those countries.
Okay, well, so it's just found out that Roland is responsible for most of that. We just talked to him. He went to all those countries.
It's already made its money back in terms of its production. It expands to China and Russia this weekend as well as here in the States. So,
do you think there's any chance there'll be a sequel?
I don't think so. No, not enough money in it. I bet you the biggest hurdle to a sequel is scheduling.
Getting
all those actors back in the same town at the same time.
And getting Gwyneth Paltrow some shoes. Would it kill her to wear some shoes?
She could use some shoes.
She's barefoot the whole movie. I don't know why.
Because it's a disaster, man. Disasters are going on, Kevin. You know who would like her own movie? Scarlett Johansson.
I would like that, too.
She would like to have a Black Widow movie. She'd like to have a spinoff for her own film. And I think we should give her whatever she wants.
I do, too.
I thought I drew the short end of it because I was complaining about the fact that I wear this latex catsuit and how uncomfortably hot it is and all that. And then when I look around, I think, you know, I had it pretty good. Saying about the rest of her Avengers who were suffering even worse in their costumes than she was. Chris Hemsworth actually had a cooling system attached to his costume. They had to air condition him in between takes.
Sweet.
Because he was so hot. But she would like to do another Black Widow, and this time a spinoff into her own film. They talk about a Hulk movie as well. No word on whether they'll do a Hawkeye movie or not, but I thought Renner was real good as Hawkeye.
Jeremy Renner, always good.
Makes you sort of look forward to the new Bourne films, doesn't it, when you see Jeremy Renner in the...
Can't wait.
In the Avengers. And also, they talk about him
actor.
Taking over the Mission Impossible franchise as well.
So. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. A lot of opportunities for Mr. Renner coming up. Ashton Kutcher has ticked off some people. He's done a series of online ads for Pop Chips. It is a spoof of a online dating service. He does some dating videos as five different characters, one of which is an Indian man.
I can't believe you don't shut up.
Yeah, he does that that stereotypical voice in brown face wearing a silk Nehru jacket.
I'm sure he nails it, though.
Oh, he's awful. Wait to hear his British. He does a British character, like a British hippie, like a stoner.
Right.
And he does like a southern biker guy. And I don't know who told him he was Eddie Murphy or Mike Myers, but he's not. He's in this heavy makeup for all these different characters. Really, really painfully unfunny.
Wow.
And the American Indian community, apparently. Not that American Indian. No. No. The Indian American, I guess. Indian American community.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Dots, not feathers. Got it.
They are upset with the performance so much so that they complained vociferously. And Pop Chips has since taken down that ad, so you will no longer be subjected to Ashton Kutcher doing his bad Indian accent.
Normally, we don't like to get into that kind of stuff, but...
In this case, I think it's good for everyone.
Not that kind,
the less we see. Sorry. Yes, once again, Indian.
By the way, Ashton Kutcher makes a lot of really poor choices, doesn't he?
Yes, yes.
When you think about it.
Yes.
You know that Twitter thing he got in the middle of that controversy with the Penn State?
He's supporting Joe Paterno.
Right, exactly. And then, I don't know, cheating on Demi Moore, maybe not the best choice he ever made. Seems like he's done a lot of dumb things.
Punked,
right.
Yeah.
I always watch Punk in spite of him. When he would come on, it would drive me crazy. His hat sideways, he'd be yelling.
Well, it was from the creative mind of Ashton Kutcher. Tarzan's coming to the big screen. I wonder, does anybody want to see Tarzan? Can Tarzan succeed in a Transformers, Battleship, Avengers,
to be a good
pyrotechnic,
story.
Suits of armor, transforming cars into spaceships kind of world? Can Tarzan, a guy who wears a loincloth and swings on a vine, can he succeed in this world?
How hot is Jane?
Jane's hot.
Okay. It's pretty low low tech, that's for sure.
Spencer Locke is her name. She plays Kmart in the Resident Evil movies. She signed on to play Jane, and Kellan Lutz, Twilight star Kellan Lutz, will be Tarzan.
Tarzan turns into a dog, or
in the big screen version. They're apparently going to stick very close to the original story, which is Tarzan's parents crash in the jungle. He's a baby. He gets raised by apes, and then Jane is the daughter of an African guide who is committed to preservation and conservation of the African jungle. She runs across Tarzan.
It's a true story.
And Tarzan has his way with her.
What do you think of Kellan Lutz as casting?
He's great. He's a great-looking kid. He's got the build for it, certainly. He looks like Tarzan.
I thought Taylor Kitsch would have been a great choice for Tarzan.
Taylor Kitsch. Oh, John Carter?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No?
He won't be getting any more franchises.
He's got Battleship. I guess that's already filmed, though.
Yeah, no, thank you. No, I think we're going to let Taylor Kitsch cool off a little bit. Give someone else a chance. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Lance Bass, legendary member of NSYNC. He's 33 years old today. Sports reporter for ESPN, Aaron Andrews, turns 34 years old. Mike Dirnt, rock musician for Green Day, is 40 years old. Will Arnett celebrates his 42nd birthday today. Mick Mars of Motley Crue turns 61. And legendary king of the surf guitar, guitarist Dick Dale. Come on now.
What's happening?
Just get into the spirit thing. Summertime's right around the corner, man. Crank your windows down. Turn up some Dick Dale. Cruise down Sunset.
I've heard you say turn up Dick a lot.
I've never turned down Dick. I say, ladies, want to party with me? Hop in the back of my Mustang. This is a little Dick.
What I will tell you that's impressive to me is that he recorded this song in what, around 1961 or something?
Yeah.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a guitarist today who could replicate this.
True, he's very talented.
What?
I'm saying Dick Dale's very talented.
The trumpet player?
No, he's the guitar player.
I didn't hear guitar.
That, of course, was the legendary Herb Albert.
I don't think that's true. Is that true?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
Just made that up.
All right, I believe we've heard enough of that one.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I got another minute and a half.
No, we're good, thanks.
All right.
We got our full of Dick.
The webcast starts at 2 p.m. We're going to start broadcasting at 1 p.m. from the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta.
Drunk!
Out there tomorrow.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I got a taco right here.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's just a vagina.
Roll another one.
That's real talk right there, man.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
We've got vomit.
And I need another hit.
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer, okay? I love beats. I'm not good at producing beats, but let me tell you, I can get behind a kit and play the drums. If you guys ever need a drummer...
Nope.
Roll another one.
God, that is one nice ass.
Just like the other one.
How dare you!
This one seems to be about sense.
Play loud, loud.
I don't have another cent.
If you think that I'm gonna masturbate after this tonight, you're right. Spectacular. Just spectacular.
Just pass it around.
Woo!
I don't want to join my friend.
Pass it up, fuzzy.
I just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
Well, that's our show. Hope you enjoyed it.
Hope you enjoyed watching the most embarrassing moments of our lives broadcast across the country. I'm sure these mental scars will never heal.
Now get out.
Seriously, go away.
No, really.
Bye.
See you. Stop.
Cut.
Go.
Go outside.
Do something.
What's next?
Go do something.
Go to work.
Get a job.
Get a job.
So, should we turn it off now?
Well, that depends what's on.
What now?
Nothing good.
Left it along the boards. Ribeiro went behind the back. Now steadies, fires, and he scores!